Today, the Bible verse for this message are from the Gospel of John. I would like every one of you to turn to the Bible in Gospel of John chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. Can we all stand and read his words? Chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. Shall we all read in unison? The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teachers, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that what John had said, and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Okay. "You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Our next set of verses are from chapter 6. Can we all turn to chapter 6? Chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. I would read the odd number, and I would ask the congregation to read the even verses. Verses 1 to 12, chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. When Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. The remaining verses are the Gospel of John, chapter 12, 20 to 22. Chapter 12, 20 to 22, we read together. "Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went to tell Andrew, Andrew and Philip to tell Jesus." May God bless his word. You may be seated. This morning, Elder Wei is speaking to us with a message. The title is, Who Can Bring People to Christ? Elder Wei.
This one is still working. Okay. That will restrict my movement then. Usually I don't move as much as Pastor Thomas, so. In case you were wondering why this morning there seemed to be a lesser crowd in the parking lot, that's because many of the church people are joining the gospel camp in Pennsylvania, and there are, I understand, about 300 to 400 people joining that, and this is a gospel camp that's oftentimes lead people to Christ, organized by the church here as well as the neighboring churches and Bible study group. So remember them in their prayer throughout the Memorial Weekend. You can hear me now, right? So I'll stay here. I still remember when I was in high school, that's a long time ago, Billy Graham Crusade came to Hong Kong, and at the time, I wasn't a believer. But because of all the hype and all that, I was just very curious. So I listened to the radio broadcast. Now, in those days, we do not have TV, not even black and white. That just goes to show you how long ago and how old I am. I was just completely captivated by Reverend Graham. Although my English was less than desirable, but he speaks in such a clear fashion, and not using many of the religious jargons, and so to the point. And I was just really, really amazed how articulate he was and how clearly he could he can deliver the message. And I thought to myself, you know, this speaker is going to be influencing thousands and thousands of people in the future. Billy Graham Crusade started out in 1949. They started the first crusade in Los Angeles, and they have spoken live to live audience, 285 million people in 185 countries and territories. That's not counting the people listen to him on the radio and television. And he was the first evangelist invited to speak to the communist countries. 1982 to Russia, and 1988 China, and 1992 to North Korea. Reverend Graham mingled with the leaders and heads of states all over the world, friends to many of the presidents. Just wonder, how many of you ever attend the Billy Graham Crusade in our audience here? Quite a few, huh? Personally, I mean. If you are not attending, let's say, personally the crusade, how many of you have watched the TV or listened to the radio of the Billy Graham Crusade? Okay? Quite a few. So, especially for those who attend the Billy Graham Crusade, one thing that you'll find out is very unique is what? A huge crowd, right? It draws thousands and thousands of people. And that is because one of the reasons is they believe a lot of pretty evangelistic prayer because they have a good organization. And also because they have one organization, it's called Operation Andrew. And this organization was in existence since 1955. And it is very instrumental to people get invited to the crusade. On account of the ministry and the work, I think the people respond to the invitation to the crusade has more than doubled throughout the whole years. It's very interesting. A few weeks ago, the early part of this month, in RCCC here, it's very unique. just about every single service were preaching about this person, Andrew, except for E2. So today I don't want you to miss out. I want you to share with you the message about Andrew. Well, just who is Andrew? There's such an organization as Operation Andrew under the Billy Graham Crusade named after. Well, Andrew was one of the 12 of Jesus' 12 disciples. The Bible really did not say much about Andrew. He is not what is one considered to be the more popular one. For example, talk about Peter. Peter's name was mentioned 176 times in the Bible. Mention about John, 125 times. But how many times do you think Andrew was mentioned in the Bible, in the New Testament? Only 14 times. In all of the 14 times, most of them are just listing his name along with other disciples. So he is not a very popular or well-known one. So much so, whenever Andrew is mentioned, you will see in the scripture will say, Andrew, brother of Simon Peter. Okay. That reminds me when I first came to the Anglican congregation, hardly anybody knew me then. I was the chairman of the deacon board, but hardly anybody knew me. But as soon as the president mentioned that this is Wei Liang, father of Elan and Yimei's Liang, people began to have a sort of reaction of recognition in their face. So who is better known, Andrew or Peter? Of course it's Peter. Of course it's Peter. You know, in the Bible, I mentioned about that his name was mentioned 14 times. Only three events were mentioned and described. And those were the events mentioned in the passage we just read together. Okay? It talked about his brother, Simon Peter, talked about the famous 5 loaves and 2 fish, and also about a Greek. What is it in common as you listen to the passage of these three passages? There's only three places mentioned, you know, about Andrew in terms of events relating to him. He brings people to Christ, right? First Peter, then the boy that has the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and finally the number of Greeks are from the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. So this is the common thread, and this is what the Operation Andrew is all about, is to bring people to Christ. You know, Andrew was originally a disciple of John the Baptist. He did not become the disciple of Jesus right from the beginning. There was a time when John the Baptist, from the wilderness, wearing all these weird clothes, right, and preached that the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. And when he listened to the message, he followed John the Baptist. But later on, when Jesus came on the scene, and as Jesus was pointed out by John the Baptist, say, behold, this is the Lamb of God. And Andrew was among the two that followed Jesus. Now, in spite of the fact that John was the great prophet, great preacher, who Jesus said, none but a woman greater than John. Yet, Andrew chose to follow Jesus. Why? Because Andrew cared more about the truth. When he met the desire, which is Jesus, he decided to follow Jesus over anybody else on earth. Andrew was also a committed follower of the truth. You know, he was from the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. By profession, he was one of the fishermen in the area. They have actually a fairly easy life. But when he listened to the message of John the Baptist, he had to follow John the Baptist into wilderness oftentimes to listen to the message and also to preach to the people. So willing to leave his comfort zone. Now, later on, when Jesus called him and Peter to follow him, which is really the second encounter of Andrew with Jesus. At the time, they were casting nets to catch fish. when Jesus called, he dropped the net and followed Jesus. In other words, he leaped behind the means of livelihood and followed Jesus. So Andrew was a person fully committed to follow the truth. Similarly, following Jesus should be the most important thing in our life. I know there are many, many great Christian leaders. Yes, we should follow them in terms of being role models, but only to the extent that reflect the part of the image of Christ. Why is it? Because there's no man that's perfect. Not even Pastor Thomas, not even Reverend Billy Graham. If you follow the person in its totality in everything the person does, because of the basic imperfection of man, sooner or later, their imperfections would disappoint you. If you find out the questionable conducts, as many of the people that sometimes, I don't know whether you come across them or not, they would say, well, at one time I was really, impressed by Christianity. I saw this wonderful pastor or brother that led me to Christ. But later on, I found out he's just like anybody else. They began to call them hypocrites. They began to turn against the church. And they began to really be staying away from Christianity altogether. You know, even some of the great preachers or men of God in history, such as Charles Spurgeon in the 19th century, you know, he has a weakness for tobacco. He likes to smoke cigars. It's a well-known fact. If you look at the private lives of many leaders, you'll find out they all have flaws. If you don't believe me, especially if you check with the spouses, you'll find out a lot more about their weaknesses and shortcomings. But it is Christ. It is Christ we should follow and model after, not man, no matter how good they might be. This reminds me a number of years ago, when opportunity to meet with one of the persons that escaped China from this June 4th movement, Tiananmen event, Tiananmen. He was one of the leaders of the labor organization. Because he sided with the movement, he was imprisoned, and he was beaten to almost near death. And so much so, his lungs almost collapsed. And the labor union in the United States, I believe the AFL-CIO, pleaded internationally to sponsor him to come to the country and to get the medication and to plead for his case. So he came to this country, and he came to Princeton. And in fact, he was under treatment for the medical center. We have an opportunity to meet with him, and we talk about different things and share about his experience. And pretty soon we talk about, the Christian faith. We have to ask him about that. Has he been exposed to it? And he said yes, but he said there's two things that sort of puzzles me sometimes, because the way the church and then many of the brothers and sisters, the way they behave, the inconsistency relative to the faith that they proclaim. Then I began to tell them, I said, just simple fact about it's Christ that we should model after. It's Christ should be our role model. If we want to follow any persons, it should be the part that reflect the image of Christ. And after that, seems like such a simple thing, yet he come to accept that. In fact, then we'll let him to the confession of a prayer and let him to Christ. And soon after that, this person was baptized and went back to China. The reason we went back was, he said, I know my people suffer a great deal through the movement, and I'm the leader. I'm going to suffer with them. Quite a person. He was baptized in private by our senior pastor, Pastor Caleb Wong, before we return to China. So it is really the model of Christ that we should follow. It is the perfect truth that we should follow. Andrew followed Jesus. When John the Baptist pointed out to him that he was the Lamb of God, He knew then what it means by the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God is referring to the Messiah, the promised one. And I claim that not only Andrew loved the truth, followed the truth, he also had love for people. In verse 41, chapter 1, 41 and 42, it says the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. Messiah meaning the Christ. He wasted no time to seek out his brother Peter, Simon Peter, and tell him about Christ. You know, when we become a believer, the further order of business should really reach out to our immediate family. Why? Because relationship is there, you're close to them, and also oftentimes they're more accessible. You either communicate or meet together all the time. And I am not naive enough, and also I hear people say it's one of the harder things to witness to your immediate family. Why is it? Because they know you too much. They know of all your flaws, weaknesses, and your anger and all this, everything. So they completely know about you. So it's very difficult. It's almost as like, you know, an orthodontist with crooked teeth and try to fix yours. He loses the credibility, doesn't he? But does it deter us from sharing the gospel with them? Decisively not. Because by nature of a transformed life, if you are truly a believer, there ought to be some changes in life that's in evidence. Either that you used to be a temper, now you become more mellow, you used to be more selfish, now you used to be more more considerate and more caring. There are bound to be some change in you that's in evidence. And that kind of changes could be a powerful tool to witness to your loved ones. In the short verse I just read, when Andrew found Peter, found the Messiah, he find Peter, tell him about the Messiah, and brought him to Jesus. But also there's a phrase at the beginning he said. He said the first thing Andrew do. That conveyed to us what? The sense of urgency. The sense of urgency. The first thing he did was to tell his brother Simon, Peter. I used to know a preacher who is a very dynamic preacher, and he used to tell us, he said, well, tell people about the gospel. You've got to have a sense of urgency. He used an analysis of like the house on the fire, and you're with a person. Smoke is billowing out. Temperature getting high. And you don't tell a person, hey, would you like to consider leaving the room because I think there's a fire. And you have to give it some choice. You might be think about it, would you? You don't do that. You say, get out of here, there's a fire. You know, right? That's the kind of urgency he wants to tell, convey to people. Because it's a matter of life and death in a sense. Also, although it's a short verse, listen to those few verbs. Andrew find his brother Simon. Sometimes we have to seek people out to lead people to the Lord. In fact, if you have a heart for people, you can always find plenty of opportunity. Pray about it and see how the Lord lay in your heart about certain people you want to reach them and to share the gospel with them. Andrew sought Peter out. And also, he tell Peter about the Messiah. Right? We need to be ready to give testimony for Christ, our personal testimony. We also be prepared to deal with the fact that we might be rejected, we might even be ridiculed, humiliation, if we're to share the gospel. Okay. And also, fourthly, he brought Peter to Christ. Sometime it's one thing to tell people to go to the evangelist meeting, to go to the circle, go to the church. It's quite another thing. You accompany them, bring them to the Christ, to get the personal involvement. So to seek out the people, tell about Christ, and also personally bring them to where the gospel can be heard. In the case that Christ is here, not here in the sense of physically, but there are plenty of opportunities you can reach out for them. The reason why Peter listened to Andrew, I totally believe that there is some change in the life of Andrew that really earned his respect. He respected his brother Andrew, so he wanted to go to see Christ. Likewise, our transformed life should be there to show people that because a new life inherent in us, that will attract people to Christ. I also submit not only that Andrew has a heart to share the gospel with his immediate family, such as his brother, but also he loved the crowd. I'm sure loved people in general. Now, in the story we just read about the five little barley loaves and two fish, small fish, you notice there was a time that near the Passover feast, the Lord was healing people and performed miracles, and people just follow him all the way. And finally, as evening drawing near, and the disciples were getting nervous, he said, well, should we disperse the crowd so they can find something to eat? And Jesus' answer was, you find them something to eat. Because he knew already what he planned to do. And they turned to Philip and said, find out where you can buy them something to eat. Okay. This is really to test the disciples. But among all these puzzling, and the disciple was kind of really puzzled over the situation, that seems like place of food is so far away, it was Andrew that brought the boy forward with the five small loaves, barley loaves, and two fish. Isn't it true sometimes what the Lord asks of us is give all that we can and present all that we have to him? Although Andrew's solution may not be practical at the moment, seems like practical in the moment, but in the hand of the Lord, it can transform into something magnificent and something great. And as a result of that, not only the 5,000 were fed, but also the many women and maybe the young children in the crowd, could be up to 10,000 people. In the hand of the Lord, inadequacy becomes adequacy. Insufficiency becomes more than sufficiency, because we read in the story, at the end of distributing the food, they were left over to fill 10 baskets. I want you to also think about another thing. In the big crowd like that, the fact that they could let the boy to come forward, it's not a simple thing. I happen to think that he must have weighed with people, that he was very approachable, kind, and people, even young children, were attracted to him to come forward. From the last example, this is in the chapter 12, 20 and 22. The verse says, and there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Now, it is interesting to note that the Greek came to Philip instead of directly to Jesus. That I can understand in a way, because the name Philip is Greek. By the relational kind of approach, it may be easier to get the first contact. But why did Philip, instead of take these Greeks to Jesus directly, he came to Andrew, and then he and Andrew took them to see Jesus? I really believe that Andrew must have a heart for people. He's known to have a heart of people, known to have compassion of people. Not only the people around him, but also for people that cross the culture. These are Greek with different cultures. If Philip is to lead this Greek to, let's say, Peter, John, and James, I could see that because it's in the circle, right? But he led them to Philip. I mean to Andrew. And Andrew led them to Jesus. That speaks something about the character of Andrew. He must have a really heart, not only for people surrounding him, but also people from other cultures. I think this mindset, which all should have, in the sense that our love should our love for neighbors must go beyond this wall. As I speak now, our short-term mission team is in Hungary, ministering to the Rama people. And that's the kind of thing that I see that more and more in our church. I think this is a very positive thing, that we should expand our love to the people with different backgrounds. Now, let me quickly, time is drawing close. How does the Lord use people such as Andrew? Okay. Andrew is a very ordinary person. In fact, his name even suggests that. His name, Andrew, meaning man. He's an ordinary man. I mean, if you talk about Peter, minister of rock, right? And John, minister of grace. But his name is just man. He's just ordinary person. But in the hands of the Lord, he could do extraordinary things. Had it not been for Andrew, there would not be Peter. We know Peter became a powerful preacher, the pillar of the church in the first century church. Had it not been for Andrew to bring the boy forward about the 5 small loaves and 2 fish, there would be no miracle to feed the thousands. About the Greek, we do not know for sure, but it may be the first cross-cultural evangelism. We never know. Because right after that, the Lord said, the hour is come that is ready to go to Jerusalem to face the cross. The Lord used people also in the sense that we may be ordinary. He likes to use a relational approach, what I call. Because of John, Philip come to meet Jesus. Andrew came to meet Jesus. Because Andrew or Peter got to see Jesus. And because of Philip, the Greek get to see Andrew, and then they get to see Jesus. You see, all by relational type of approach. Do you know that 80% of the people that come forward in Billy Graham's crusade is because they were invited by friends? The number may even be low. Okay? In fact, Operation Andrew is all based on the principle that you pray for people and see who pays them in your heart. You cultivate a friendship relationship with them, and then eventually you go with them to the Billy Graham crusade. In our case, Billy Graham crusade is not around all the time. In fact, it is coming up in June 24 to 26. And so we can lead them to the church or the small group, fellowship group, or this kind of thing that you oftentimes will say, well, look, you know, we don't have the gift of preaching. We don't know enough about the Bible. How do we lead people to Christ? Well, you can lead them to people who know a little bit more than you do and can answer some of the tough questions you might be mind. And before the Lord parted with the disciple, he told the people around him, he said, to be his witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the world. The same applies today. We are to witness for the Lord in our immediate family, to our community, to the whole country, and even to all tribes and nations around the world. Don't we want to be a part of this? Don't we want to be part of this? I really believe that all believers should have some friends that are not believers. I know it's great in a comfort environment to all have your good friends and brothers and sisters, but you ought to have some friends that is non-believers, because that's how you can reach them. Right? I know that I live in the active adult community. There are about 500 units, but there are about 42 Chinese families. There are only about 2 or 3 Christian families. So we decided, actually it was some time ago, my wife really has a compassion for a lady suffering from depression. So just befriend with the person, bring them to home and talk to her. Pretty soon we decided to form a Bible study group that meet Tuesday night in our home. We have also turned out to have a retired pastor and his wife that can join us. So now we're meeting regularly whenever there's unless there's some special thing. Every Tuesday night, we have the Bible study group. It's a small beginning. We have about 7 or 8 people. But we hope that it's a starting point. So we have plenty of opportunity. You know, build a cultivated relationship first. And then you have to find the means to reach out to them. And this lady, by the way, turns out that she was led to the Lord and accepted Christ. And what a marvelous change in her attitude. Her depression was cured. and just really to see the joy in her really is extremely uplifting. Finally, as we said, spreading the gospel showed a sense of urgency. Back in 1997, my oldest brother was dying from some sickness. And when it comes to personal life, you might consider that he was a kind of black sheep in the family. He went after things of the world. He was also very successful in his career, no matter what he did. Even when he did some hobby or photography, he always excelled. Life seemed to be easy for him. He always in control. And full of confidence. And he's what I call it, really a charisma, the kind of leader of persons. So it seemed to him there's no need for any religion. I have to confess, my sharing the gospel with him was at best a feeble one. I was intimidated by him. But when I heard that he was dying, I flew to Hong Kong immediately. I spent 2 weeks with him. I prayed to God that would give me the opportunity that I can share the gospel with him. But when I saw him, I was just devastated to see. He used to be tall, not like me, handsome, well-built, full of confidence. He was reduced to only skin and bones. He had a gasping for air when he lay down on the bed. And he would drift in and out of consciousness. And I prayed to God that give me the chance that he would be conscious so I could share Christ with him. You know, the Lord is merciful. He did give me the opportunity. The second day when I was there, I let him step by step ask him, do you believe that you are a sinner? Clearly, he recognized me at that moment. He said, yes, I do. I said, would you like to confess your sin to the Lord, accept the Lord Jesus as a Lord and Savior? And he said, yes. The Lord is gracious. His hand of salvation always reaching out to us. But why wait? Why wait? We do not know when the Lord will return. There might be another chance. So, I really urge you to have that kind of urgency, to reach out for the immediate family, pray for them, and also that walk in such a way that your actions, the lifestyle, show them the transformed life to be a good witness for Christ. Billy Graham crusade is coming to New York in Flushing in June 24-26. He was born in 1918. They place him to be around the age of 86 to 87 years old. This will be his last crusade. Why not pray for the loved ones, your friends, colleagues, and take them to the crusade? And let the Lord speak through this old and faithful servant of his to this people, so that they would come to the fold of the Lord. Andrew did not do anything outstanding. He was just an ordinary person. He loved the truth and loved people, and the Lord used him to bring people to him. You too, all of us, can be used by the Lord if we're willing. What we have may not be much. We may not be articulate. We may not be with a gift such as Paul and all these famous preachers. But in the hand of the Lord, he can transform that into something very, very significant. Let us pray. Lord, we are children of a sinner saved by grace. And this grace was extended to us because of loving provision you made to us. And also because someone in our lives has introduced the gospel to us. This gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we receive the gospel and salvation came to our lives. There is no merit we can claim to justify this. It is your love through the redemptive work of your Son and our Lord Jesus that we are no longer the captives of sins. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. We can once again be reconciled with you, inherit the life eternal. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you also for providing your people and the many dedicated servants of yours around us, that we may hear the good news and come to receive Christ as a Savior and the Lord in our lives. By the command of our Lord Jesus, we know that we are to share this blessing with others. There are still many who are lost in their own sins. They may include our loved ones, our colleagues at work, our friends in school, our neighbors just down the street. Lord, give us the heart of Andrew, that we may love you deeply and care for our fellow men sincerely. Use us to be the instrument of your hands, that more people may come to receive the saving grace of Christ. For we ask these things in his blessed name. Amen.